little Peter Benjamin Brooks from Great Mom and Dad up. I'd like to dedicate Peter to the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen. I like my job. Lord Jesus, I look at this mom and dad, and I have the assurance as a pastor, they're going to love the Lord with all their heart. Jesus Christ is central in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, and in their home. Now I hold Peter Benjamin Brooks. Lord Jesus, you have granted this family three lovely children, healthy children for your glory. And Lord God, I stand in your stead and I bless this child. I dedicate this child in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord God, that I have the joy to be able to hand this child back to Elizabeth and know that this child is going to be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. May you bless this family. And you should tarry, Lord God. May Benjamin sing for your glory, worship your name, filled with the Holy Spirit, shouting the glories of God. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I still got the touch. Praise God. Well, you sow seed, God's word cannot return unto him void. It's a promise. So there are three that I know of. They're going to be baptized this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Some folks have asked me, is it healthy? Is it good for little itty bitty ones to be at the altar? Do they understand really what they're doing? God meets that itty bitty one on their level. God speaks to 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 15. He meets them on their level. And we maybe forget that. We complicate things. But God will meet them right there. And then the most important thing, because how many times have I talked to young people who have gone to an altar, felt the presence of God, and that was the genuine conviction of the Holy Spirit. But then they don't change a few things after they leave the altar. And let me tell you the few things you must change. If you've been in the world, you must change your fellowship. Get away from those worldly associates. Because there's an anointing with them. Brother Branham said, the only reason I did not give my heart to God sooner as a 12-year-old, he says, the devil was telling me, just wait a little longer. And because of the friends I was hanging around with. So once you've been at the altar, that's an anointing of God. The conviction of God drew you there. But if you get back out underneath that old anointing with those old friends, you'll say, you know, maybe I was just under emotion, or maybe I was just this, or maybe I... And you'll begin to... The devil will begin to speak to you and water down the truth of what took place at that altar. It's important now, second thing is to change your habits and begin to feed on the things of God. Begin to get into the Word of God. Listen to the prophet's voice, the tapes. Get into it. Make sure you have your own personal devotion time now. Be able to have time set aside with just you and God every single day. You'll go, if you're a brand new Christian, you'll go through an identity crisis where you'll read the Bible and you say, but I don't understand what I'm reading. Be patient. Be patient. You know every football player, basketball player, baseball player. You know all the songs. And you acquired that because you had a passion for those things. Now have a passion for the Word of God. And as you feed on the Word of God, remember, His Word is not like a newspaper. His Word is spirit and life. You say, well, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Keep walking in the Word. In the Word is the new birth. Stay in the realm of the Word. He'll take you through justification, which is what took place at the altar. That means your sins are gone. Then He'll begin to sanctify your life. In fact, many times he begins to sanctify your life before you even get to the altar. You don't even know what's happening, but God's taking the desire for the world out of your life. And then there's just the right time where the preacher's preaching and there's an amen in your heart. You respond to that. So one, make sure your fellowship is changed, that you get away from your old associates. When I was 16 and a half years old, almost 17, I gave my heart to God. The only regret that I have is that I didn't do it sooner. And then my old friends were calling me from San Jose, California. Why don't you come back? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I said, I can't come back. I'm too weak. I'm a brand new babe. And then some of my friends that I had just acquired in the church, they were smoking dope, they were partying in the church there in Arizona. They wanted me to come over also. And I remember I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go over to so-and-so's house and I'm going to just witness to them. Brand new babe in the Lord. I remember vividly opening the brown wooden gate to go through the backyard like I always had done. And I opened the brown wooden gate to go through the backyard. The screen door to the house was open and I could smell the pot. I literally turned around on my heels, walked back to my car, got in my car, went home. And I said, you know what I think? I think I'm going to try to convert these guys from a distance. Prayer on my knees. Till I get a little stronger in the Lord. Then I'll go back and then I'll be able to tell them. But I'm not about to get back in that environment. I'm just a babe in the Lord. So if you're a babe in the Lord, you've just given your heart back to the Lord, or you've just given your heart to the Lord for the first time, feed that experience. What you've got to do, every little baby that's born has got to eat. Every little baby that's born has got to want to eat. There's a lot of work in birth. That little baby's got to eat. You've got to do the same thing. And then be patient. You're going to make mistakes. But as I've said before, only the believer falls forward and fails upward. As our brother Kaidre said, every mistake we make makes a knot in the rope and makes it that stronger, and we're much more determined not to make the same mistakes that we made before. Because the devil wants to identify you. He wants to give you a certain mindset of who you are. Well, I'm a failure. I'm a backslider. I've got a bad attitude. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't speak that. I would say I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I'm victorious in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what I would say. I'd say what the Word says no matter what your flesh says. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. One more song, then I want our Ashton and Sister Julie to come and sing a song for us. And then we'll let Brother Kaidre come and preach the good word of God this morning. Amen. So remember, the baptism's right after service. Praise the Lord. That old account was settled long ago. Let's sing that. Long ago. I like that song. Let's just worship Him with this song. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sin yet unforgiven. My name was at the top. Amen. Praise God.
You sing it like you mean it. That's wonderful. Praise God. Stand together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And I want you to do that. Lay aside everything just now. Now it's just you and the Lord. You've worshiped God as a congregation. You've praised Him. You've been blessed by the specials. You've prayed for the sick. But now you draw on the gift of God. Touch the hem of His garment. Shut in with Him now. Just turn your eyes upon Him. Watch the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Let's sing it to Him now.
Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Many love the Lord.
Amen.
He's so worthy of praise. Amen. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Lord, we love You, Father, for You first loved us. Lord, You put something within us, Lord, to be able to respond to the love of God. And Lord, we're here this morning in Your presence. And Lord, we're thanking You for allowing us to enter in. But Lord, our desire is that our approach will be right this morning, Lord. Don't let us come with a religious mindset. Don't let us come with the mindset that it's our ability that we're here this morning. But it's all You and Your sovereign grace, Lord. Lord, you woke us up, Lord, in our right minds with the blood running warm through our veins. You did it all, Lord. And Father, just help us to be able to express our gratitude and our thanks for Your many and wonderful benefits, Lord. And Lord, help us to be able to give back something, Lord. Whether it be just a song, Lord, or a hand clap, or amen, or hallelujah, just to express what You mean to us, Lord. But Father, we know that words can express all that You've done and all that You will do, Lord. But Lord, in the way that seems fitting to us by revelation, help us to be able to enter into a channel, Lord, that we can give You thanks this morning. And Lord, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone sick, Lord, that the mighty God of glory, the healer of all of our sickness and diseases, would come down and swoop upon us, Lord, and touch our bodies, and touch our minds and our spirits and our souls, and make us whole all over again. In the name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray that those that may be listening, Lord, Father, where they're not here, their desire is to be here, Lord, Father, that You can touch them in their homes and wherever they may be. In Your great and holy name we praise You and we thank You. we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Church, say amen.
Amen.
We can do better than that.
Amen.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen means so be it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. How many of you are glad when you said, let us go into the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. We're glad to be here again this morning. And we thank your pastor, amen, for the invitation to come and be with you, amen. One thing I've learned, I remember when I was just getting saved real good, and you know, it had nothing to do with going out to preach, but just, you know, like young people say, I'm trying to find myself. And, you know, God began to deal with us, and you know, and I began to just stop trying to do it all at once and just live day by day with the Lord.
Amen.
And as I live, you know, and we your Christian experience should bring you higher.
Yes.
Amen. You should be further along than you were last year.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, the revelation of God in you should increase as you walk on this earth.
Yes.
And you know, and that's what God done to me. He increased more and more. And you know, I started out as a song leader, you know, at the church, and just singing and worshiping. And then the call of God came into our lives. And one thing I realized when I started preaching, and you know, Milo went out to different places, I realized that God has people all over the world.
Amen.
That this thing that we have is bigger than the present state you're in.
Amen.
But God is dealing with people, might be just like you, people that are going through the same thing you're going through, and God is dealing with them. You know, that just says how great God is. Amen. He can have a people all over the world, and he's so sovereign, and he's so omnipresent, and just so great. He can deal with each and every one of us on our own level.
Amen.
And you know what I love about it? While he was dealing with me, that other person that needed to be dealt with, they didn't feel lack. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all might as well get ready, because we're going to have some church this morning.
Amen.
I woke up this morning and I was feeling good. I feel good to be a Christian. There's a lot of people don't know what it's like to have God inside of you. But if God is inside of you, you can never be the same.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't wake up the way you woke up the next day. But you woke up with your strength renewed if Christ Jesus is in you.
Yeah.
Because the day is a new day.
Yeah.
And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody ought to rejoice in it. Somebody ought to be glad that God chose you. That God chose your family. That God chose your husband. That God chose your children. That God chose your church. We ought to rejoice. This is not going to be an ordinary service. This is going to be a supernatural gathering of God's bride. Amen. That's what I believe. And if you don't believe that, you might as well get out of my way. Like I said, different places I go, when I step behind the pulpit, I believe that God is going to do something.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we don't get results in our lives is because we have no expectation.
Amen.
We put it all on Brother Branham. But Brother Branham fulfilled his part in the scripture. What about you and I?
Amen.
Amen. He talked about a third pool. He talked about perfect love, perfect faith. Who was he talking about? You say you saw some of it in my ministry. But when that time comes, it's really going to be manifested. Where?
Yeah.
Where is it going to be manifested? I wish somebody was saying me. Somebody might be saying, man, come on, I'm ready to sit down. You might not have an opportunity to stand again in God's presence. Like Brother Jeff said, he was picking up my thoughts back then. What if this was our last service? What if when we walk out of this place, we step into another dimension? But let's go a little bit further. What if God was up here behind this pulpit in this suit talking to you? morning, the mighty God is being unveiled. Cameraman, forgive me. Let's get into the scripture. And Brother Toby said, Brother Deez, you just be so stirred up, you come out, don't read no scripture. Next, just start preaching. Because I'm a germ of life. Amen. See, a germ of life, when you put it under that microscope, it ain't sitting still. It's moving. It's moving. It's trying to find that place where it can get to that egg and it can mate and it can bring forth life. Woo! I want to bring forth life this morning. It might be some young people that got away last night, but we're going to lock the doors. You ain't getting away this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. There might be some adults in here troubled in your mind, but the Prince of Peace is here. Yeah. There might be some people that's sick in your body, and I know it, but the Deliverer is here. Yeah. Jehovah Shalom is here. Jehovah Rapha is here. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee from all thy diseases. I am first person. Amen. Brother Jeff told me to be myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, let's go to Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 20. Behold, Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Hallelujah. He said, beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. How many know if God has a voice? Thou would obey his voice and do all that I speak. My! You see how he's changing it around? He said, obey his voice and do all that I speak. Amen. So the voice of God is in that angel that speaks to you. Amen. He said, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, a devil. And the Hittites, a devil. And the Perizzites, a devil. And the Canaanites, a devil. The Hivites, a devil. The Jebusites, a devil. And I will cut your devils off. Amen. Amen. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Amen. How many believe? Amen. And if you're sick this morning, God said in his word, he shall take it away from the midst of you. Amen. Verse 26. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. In thy land and number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou hast come. And I will make all thy enemies turn their back up unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the book of Numbers 33. Let's start reading at verse 52. Let's just start at verse 50. And the Lord spake, Numbers 33 and 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to your and to more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribe of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Hallelujah. May the Lord have a blessing to read of his word. You have your seats. Glory to God. Amen. This morning we want to take for a topic, drive out the inheritance of the land little by little. Amen. Amen. God said in his word that I've already given the land unto you. How many believe that? Amen. There's promises in God's word that he's already given us. Our children, he's given us. Our husband and wives, he's given us. A church, a place of refuge, he's given us. God said, I'm not going to give it all to you at one time. Right. But I'm going to give it to you little by little. You know, if you look at a tree, you plant a tree, and you can't really see that tree growing. But little by little, it gets taller. Little by little, it gets taller and taller. And before you know it, it's pushing out whatever was already in it before the foundation of the world. But you have to get to a place to where you're willing to fight. And God wants some people that's not going to be afraid to challenge the sickness in their body. God wants some people that's not going to be afraid to challenge the battles that they're going through in their mind. God wants some young people that's not going to be afraid to challenge the school system. So what? They took out the Ten Commandments. It ought to already be in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's why when the prophet talked about a squeeze, we will have a time when we ain't going to be able to come here and preach and read this Bible. What are we going to do then? The word should already be planted in your heart. Amen. Amen. And then you'll fight with courage, because courage comes from the heart. Yeah. God wants some heart-bound soldiers. Amen. But one thing I find out, wherever we go, there's the number one killer amongst men and women, and it's called heart disease. Amen. Y'all know that's the number one killer? Heart disease. It's also the number one killer in the church, heart disease. Where people can't serve God from their heart. Amen. They'll give God good songs. We'll come in here sing and praise God in the presence of Jehovah, worship and everything. And the word comes, we start biting our nails. We start going to the bathroom or taking a water break or the baby acting up or whatever the case is. You got to challenge them spirits. Hallelujah. You got to say, God, if you call me, straighten out this stuff around me, because I want to hear from you. Hallelujah. How many with me this morning? This might be my last service. So I got to preach it like God gave it to me. There's some inhabitants. There's some devils that are walking around in our land. There's some devils that might be walking in your church. Now what you going to do about it? Are you going to just sit there and let those spirits walk in and walk out, and you never get on your knees and pray for them? Are you going to let the world overpower your children with the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and all the cares of this world? Are you going to pray about it? Are you going to get on your knees and fight? Brother Brandon said, what we need is more neology. Yeah. Where people and parents, husband and wives, will get down on their knees and pray for their children. Yeah. Hallelujah. But one thing I know, see, I'm to the place that now, I didn't know this years ago, but I know now, no matter where I go, there might be another man that looks like me. He might talk like me. He might even dress like me. But he's not me. So what am I saying? God shared with me recently that nobody can take your place. Nobody can take Brother Diggs' place. Nobody can take Brother Jeff's place. Nobody can take Brother Gary's place. Why? Because when God made one, you become the original. And you are the original seed to the program that God has for you. And nobody can operate in your role like God wants you to. You know, when you go see a movie, and I know some of you still going to the movies, but fight that enemy that's in your land. Right. Amen. See, if you're going to be a believer, be a believer. Amen. Don't be a make-believer. And don't say, I hate when people make excuses and talk about, well, I ain't there yet. Pray for me. You ain't there yet, and I ain't praying for you. You don't want prayer. Because you make an excuse. And Brother Bram said, excuses is a scheme of a lie. It's a form of weakness. But you know, when we used to go to the movies, when we used to go, they had a main character and they had everybody else working around this character. But everybody had to play their role for the movie to be successful. Amen. And everybody had specific lines and specific duties for this thing can be a full movie, a full film. Amen. And God also is playing a role in a movie right now on this earth with you and I. The prophet God said that this scene that we live in has already been lived in heaven. God has already fought the devil. God has already whipped the devil. Michael and his angels. They've already defeated Satan. And the Bible says with an open show, God's spoiling his goods. So our enemy is already a defeated foe. He already challenged our great God. He already ran up against him and God broke his back. Amen. So I want to call out them same demons we fight right now. Mr. Arthritis, we see you this morning. Mr. Diabetes, we see you this morning. Mr. Cancer, we see you this morning. God already defeated you. And now, we're not going to do any different from what God done. We're going to do the exact same thing because it's the same ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, what the young people have to realize, the spirits that you're fighting, they've come down through the generations. Amen. See, parents, as you look at your kids, you might say, man, my son remind me of me. Amen. You might look at your daughter and say, man, she remind me of me. She's just as sassy as she want to be. You say, where'd she get that from? And then you get to thinking, she get that from me. Because I was like that when I was young. See, the spirits, they don't die, they travel. They travel. If you kick them out of your land, they're going to try to get in your children's land. That's why you have to stand there as a watchman and don't let all them kind of books and stuff come in your house. All them old magazines and all this old life and all this diary books and all kind of stuff. You young girls, stop reading them books. Because your life ain't going to be a sweet fairy tale. Especially if you got the Holy Ghost. God don't want you to be a sweet princess. He wants you to be a soldier. That knows her position. She knows when the captain come in, it's not time to fight, but it's time to surrender. Woo! But in that very scene, you would have cast members. You have people that are supposed to play a role, but you also have one person on the set called a director. Right. Yeah. Ooh. And if you look at your life, we all have one set and one director, but we're all on the same set, and the director has given all of us different roles to play. Amen. But every role that's in here this morning is a benefit to everybody else beside you. Hallelujah. See, Brother Diggs is no good without you, brother. I need you. Hallelujah. Because nobody can take your place. Woo. See, without you, I'm incomplete. Without you young people, I'm incomplete. There'll be no rapture until you get in your position. Glory to God. So I need you this morning to find your role. and step into your role. And don't be afraid, because the lines that you have, nobody can say them like you can. Nobody could play Moses' role better than he could. Moses was the only one that could drive out the inhabitants in Egypt. Can you imagine this? God said, I've heard the cry of my people, and I've come down. And Moses, you know what? I'm sending you. But Moses had to get to a place to where he believed that God was real. So he had to get to a place to where he needed some evidence. Amen. And you know how we men do? We need some evidence. And you know, sometimes men, when you're out there fixing on your car and you're trying to work, especially don't let it be the car the wife drives. You out there fixing on the car, she come out there like she ain't got no motor. Sneak out there, looking around. And then she say those key words that like make you blow up if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You know what you're doing? And pretty much you're saying, like me and my wife do, don't let the devil use you. That's like me coming home and watching her cook, and I come in the kitchen and I say, you know what you're doing? But God has put you in certain positions where you grow. Hallelujah. You grow into your strip. You grow into your lines, and you become so much like those lines till you become the words off the pages. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that there's people, Denzel Washington, they said that he channeled up the spirit of Malcolm X. He was so good at it to in the rehearsal, he started saying a line that wasn't even on the strip.
Amen.
Because he channeled up that spirit, he became so much like Malcolm X in that role. Hallelujah. What about us? Can we be so much like God? Hallelujah. Can my children be so much like God? We can be like Moses. When God told Moses to go down there, because I sent you, Moses didn't go down there. He said, God said, let the people go. But he went down there and he said, let my people go.
Amen.
See, Moses began to feel like he was God. Woo! He got to the place to where he said, God don't call down flies. I call down flies. I call down lights. There's going to be a death angel pass through this place. Why? Because I said so. See, Moses had got into this position, and it became real to him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, as an evangelist, I have to get in my position. I can't worry about how you're looking at me or different things, but once I get in my position, it becomes real to somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God wants to take your faith and take it from an intellectual faith and make that healing in your body be visible.
Yeah.
It's already there, but it has to come and be manifested. Hallelujah. But as we act out our strips and our different roles, you might have a line say, God loves me. Somebody else might have the same line. But they're not acting it out as good as you are. You know, some people say, God loves me, and they come to church like this. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. Where's the joy? And we want our kids to be saved, and we ain't got no joy. Amen. We want our children to experience this Holy Ghost, and we got our Holy Ghost in our pocket. The token must be on display. It has to be seen. Before you catch an airplane out of here, the ticket must be seen. Before you catch the bus, the token must be seen. Before you get on the train, the ticket must be seen. And before you make a rapture, the token must be seen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm already in the rapture. I'm already moving. I can feel the body change. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to say, I don't say no more. The things I used to touch, I don't touch no more. Why? Because God is getting me ready for a rapture. And what is the rapture? The rapture is a body of believers. How many believers are here? So that means the rapture is already taking place. Oh, glory to God. But we have inhabitants. We have demons in our land. We have spirits that are passed down through the generations. You know, last night while the Holy Spirit was moving, and I know we all believe that the Holy Spirit was moving. I don't know what I did with my handkerchief. Oh, here it go. While the Holy Spirit was moving, you know, at the same time, like it's moving right now, some people can't quite get in that channel with it being blessed. Why? Because they've come so long acting out the same roles by repetition. They have no feeling in the role. They can't become the role. So they get here and they just sit and say, we're having church. And that's all you're going to get out of it is church. But when your role comes to life, you become the church. You become that role manifested to everybody else around you. Hallelujah! And what we ought to be is Christ, the mystery of God revealed to a dying world. The brother God said, all that was in the Father, he poured in Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured where? In us, in the church. So if Christ is in me, shouldn't I be responding to him while he preaching to me? Glory to God. Because it's eagle to eagle, not buzzard to buzzard. And if we're an eagle, I'm flying. And I know some of you up there with me, but I want more of you to come. Glory to God. See, it's a different nature, a different behavior from a buzzard and an eagle. But you know what? We got a rat in here this morning. Amen. And that same old rat is called the devil. The scripture says, and I'm thinking about this while Brother Jeff was praying for the prayers. The scripture says that we wrestle. It said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles, what that means, lie in wait. See, Satan, demons, they're lying in wait for opportunity to jump on you. See, one thing about Satan, he ain't gonna show all of his effect at once. He's gonna do it little by little. You might say, well, I got a boyfriend in the church or a girlfriend, and you know, we're dating. And you go from dating to holding hands, from holding hands to a peck on the cheek, from a peck on the cheek to just letting it all hang out.
Amen.
Somebody is slipping. And you might say, well, Brother Diggs, we're both in the message. But what kind of message are you in? Are you in a message that you'll take the honeymoon before the vows? Or you have the vows, then the honeymoon? Amen! But in those times, the wiles, Satan, he's still subtle. He's not going to expose all of who he is just at that one time. But he's going to start real subtle. You might say, Lord, I've been praying and praying for Mr. Wright. And here come Mr. Wright. He come to church, his hair slicked back. And, you know, the word is being preached. He's, amen, brother, amen. You know, you look and you say, man, he's even responding to the word. That's at church. But then when you get all alone, there's some different inhabitants in his land. When you get all alone, the things that were preached in church are not so important. They might make a statement like Delilah. If you love me, you will tell me the hearts. You will tell me your secret. If somebody put that kind of pressure on you, that's the devil talking to you. And it starts so simple and so easy. See, somebody in this scene right now. Somebody in the scene where they figure they didn't met Mr. Wright. And you say, well, he don't go to this church, but he in the message. Yeah, he in the message, but how many other women he talking to just like he talking to you? How many other men she talking to just like she talking to you? And one thing I can't stand is a playboy. One thing I can't stand is one boy going from this girl to that girl because he don't know who he want. That's when you got to pray and God will give you an absolute.
Amen. You don't have to try this one and try that one and see what she thinks and see what she thinks. But what you got to do is try God. And once you try God, he'll send the angels before you. And once he sends the angels before you, he'll make the way clear so you can come to the place that you're supposed to be at. See, there's a difference from dating and courting. Dating is when you're sampling. And when I find out we got girls, supposed to be Christian girls, that's giving up samples. Y'all might as well say amen. You say, well, Brother Deeks, why you preach about that in a message church? Because demons are in message churches. We're not exempt because God sent us a prophet. We're the very ones that those thousands and thousands of demons are trying to get because we have the word to shut them down. Hallelujah. But you got young girls giving out samples and young men giving out samples. And what I'm talking about, giving up their virtue. Some of you here guilty. You sneaking. You think you're getting away. No, you ain't getting away. God got his eye on you. Amen. But what I love about God, he loved you so much that he'll bring up your sin. Amen. He'll bring it up and expose it to where only you know what's going on in your life. Amen. See, the way God operates, he don't expose you in front of everybody. He gives you space to repent. And once you don't repent, those very same devils that you hold on to will become a thorn in your side. Amen. That's why we got young girls pop up with babies. Because they played and they played and they played and they didn't repent. And now God got to make an example out of them. Amen. Oh, I know some of y'all wasn't expecting this. Me neither. But when God takes over. Amen. Amen. He ain't going to preach to tickle your ear. He's going to preach to save your soul. Amen. Glory to God. So we got too many people giving up samples. You tell me, sisters, how many of us, when we go to Food Lion or Bilo or whatever grocery store you got up here, or buy a pack of meat that's already open? Woo!
That's good.
I don't want nothing already contaminated. Glory to God. And you tell me, sisters. You tell me, brothers. How many of you, before you have your party, you won't make sure that the meat is edible to serve? Amen. But before you buy that meat, it already has to have a seal on it. Right. Woo! It already has to be prepped right. The fat and all the stuff that you don't need, it already has to be gone in order for it to be edible. Amen. Some of y'all must be don't cook in here. But one thing I love about that meat, God will place that meat in a place where it has to be seasoned. And I believe that now this is our season. We're in the last leg. God has the right word to keep you safe. God has the right manner of dress to keep you safe. God has the right thought process to keep you safe. But what he has to do, he has to drive out the devils that's in your land. And he's strong enough to do it. See, we wrestle against it. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And wiles, we just said, is Satan lying in wait. Cunning arts, deceit, craft, tricky. See, everything, and this can happen to me. Just me being in my position. People will say, that ain't God. But you got to know what God called you to. Amen. Amen. You got to know, despite what people say, God is real enough to speak to you. Amen. So what somebody else might think is a trick, someone else might think is cunning, deceit, it might even be God speaking to you. But our adversary, the devil, he says, he's a false accuser. He's a slanderer. And you know, the Bible talks about a spirit called a whisperer. And that word, whisperer, means silent slanderer. And if you're a silent slanderer, what's backing you is jealousy. Ain't no need for us to be jealous of one another. If we all operate in our role, we'll get the same reward. And what we want is for the movie to be successful. So that it not only is not only projected on a stream, but it goes into homes. Woo! It goes into homes that they call DVD and all these other things. We want our lives to go into homes. So when people see us operating in the manner that we're supposed to operate in, it becomes life to a dying generation. But one thing I love about the scenes and the strips on the movie, when you're operating and you're not saying your role like you're supposed to, there's one person there with a bullhorn. And what he'll say, if you're not saying your lines right, is, cut!
Amen.
Cut! Cut! Right now, cut! Order on the set. You know why he has to say it's order on the set? Because some of us laugh at the other one when we fall. We laugh when they make mistakes. And God has to come in and say, cut, cut. And when he says cut, he's saying, if it wasn't for my grace, you'd be in the same condition.
Amen.
So I'm saying, don't laugh. Order on the set right now. I got to deal with this person personally.
Amen.
And when he begins to deal with that person in their role, he don't bring everybody else with him. He talks to that person one-on-one.
Amen.
See, I know some of you think it hard now. You think it hard because you got different challenges in your life. But God wants to drive it out.
Amen.
He wants to drive it out.
Amen.
He's not going to do it all at one time, but he's going to give you victory by victory. Victory by victory. From glory to glory. That's how we're going to move.
Right.
Amen. But when God says cut, you know, the glory of the church is who? The women. Amen.
Amen.
The glory of the man is who? The woman. Amen. So a lot of times, that's why the enemy always starts conflict with the women.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. I know we're supposed to have a fellowship. If you done brought a dish, don't bring your dish with an alternative motive.
Right.
You thinking, I made this special dish and everybody's going to eat it up. If nobody don't eat your dish tonight, don't get mad. God might want to humble you. We know you can cook. And you know how Satan starts? He starts so simple. We have a fellowship dinner at the church. We put the list up. And you have, like, you might have a couple sisters that sign the list. And you have that one other sister sit back looking to see what everybody else going to bring. Come to church every week and don't sign the list. Because she's looking to see what everybody else bring. Then the list fill up. But you know what? It's one sister she watching because she got a complex. She knows she can cook, and she waiting for her to sign. She waiting for her to sign the list because God then had to already tell her cut. So when she signed the list, she signed the list of the cups and plates. And this particular sister just blew up. I don't know why she. We know she can cook. Why is she just bringing cups and plates? She's always trying to get over on us. So that's one strike. The devil done got you all roared up now. Because she's bringing cups and plates. You have another fellowship dinner. And you waiting again. See, you got this monkey on your back now. You want to be free, but you can't be free because you listen to the voice of Satan more than you listen to the voice of God. Somebody guilty. And the next fellowship dinner come. Everybody all right?
Amen.
The next fellowship dinner come. And the list goes up. And you wait and you wait and you wait. You waiting on the same old sister again. She don't sign the list. She waits. She waits. This time she signs the list. She signs it on the forks and spoons. And you're so mad. And so raging because you feel like this sister is getting over, you go and express how you feel to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you push your feelings on somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, you don't know that you begin to influence that person on how you think.
Yeah.
Young people, don't do that. Don't do that. If you see somebody struggling or going through a trial or whatever it might be, don't push how you feel about that person on somebody else so you can have some partners. So you can have a tag, make it a tag team match. Amen. Amen. You not knowing that this sister wants to participate. She wants to cook, but she might have a low self-esteem with her cooking. She might don't want everybody to taste her food because she don't feel like she's that a great cook. But you done went way off in South Dakota somewhere, way off in New Zealand, and you got all these people looking at each other wrong. And then she go tell her husband, and you go tell your husband, and now the brothers can't talk to each other. Because any man gonna back his wife. Amen, brothers? Amen. You might know it's wrong, but you still gonna have the support of your wife. Why? Because you don't wanna be in the doghouse. So you'll say, yeah, honey, I understand what you're saying. And in so many words, you're agreeing not to agree. And then you got two families in the church, inhabitants, sitting in the same land with the believers. You got all this stuff going on, and God can't move. Because you got this family holding fault with this family. You got this husband that wants a fellowship with this husband, but he can't because of their wives. And don't you know that trickles down? Because the kids can hear you talking about that family. And when Gabriel and Kadre, my son, we used to play, if me and Jeff have a battle where we get to talking about each other, when KD and Gabriel come together, they'll start to treat each other like me and Brother Jeff do. Because the spirits move down to the next generation. So when you go home and talk about the pastor, your husband ain't the only one listening. Your child is too. Boy, we got to do some cleaning up. See, the prophet of God said, and I know this is real simple, but victory is real simple. God is revealed in simplicity. Something this simple can stop the move of the Spirit in the church. Because God is not the author of confusion. Amen. And now you got people in here that got complexes and different battles and all these things while the word is trying to go forth and be delivered, but you're so caught up in what you're going through, you can't get free. Right. And you come back home and you talk about Brother D. If you go back home, you go back home and say, Brother D, he sure preached, but he's just too wild. I'm reading my Bible, trying to find a reverend. I look up, he way on the other side of the room. That's just too much for me. I can't get into that kind of preaching.
Good preaching. Come on in.
But what you have to realize is God made us the way we are for a benefit to somebody else. So while it might not be a benefit to you, it's a benefit to somebody else. While I couldn't be a husband to this other woman, I can be a husband to my wife. Hallelujah! So there is a connection somewhere in here, but you have to find the right channel.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. I feel the Holy Spirit moving.
Amen.
So we're gonna attack the enemy right quick. How many ready to attack?
Amen.
See, we've been backing up too long, Brother Lonnie. We've been on the defense too long. It's time for an offense now. The offense is what gets the soul, not a defense. A defense backs up because they guard their territory. But an offense drives the enemy out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got to drive the enemy out. And we're going to drive them out with this word. We're going to drive them out being in our position. We're going to drive them out with love. That's the strongest force on this earth. Love. And no matter what your child might be in, no matter what your husband, your wife might be in, if you got the love of God in your heart, it can conquer that demon.
Yes,
but what you need is a fresh anointing.
Yes,
sir. See, we're not living in the glare of an old day. Hallelujah. We're supposed to have a fresh anointing. How many remember the story of the woman that had the drunk husband and his friends? And they were saying, I ain't nobody no Christian. Although this man was a drunk, he said, yes, there is. Yes, he wasn't a full believer yet. Amen. But he said, yes, there is. See, out with his buddies and everything, but he still could identify that there was a real God living in somebody. Amen. He said, yes, there is. They said, where is? He said, my wife. He said, hey, I tell you what. Let's all go back to the house like we drunk. You see the test? You see the scene? Sometimes God will put certain things in your way to try you to see how you're going to react. Amen. And if he puts it there, that means he knows you're able to overcome it. He knows that you're able to produce God. And if you don't produce God, he'll say, cut! Take the scene over. Do you have another fellowship dinner? Cut! Take the scene over. Another fellowship dinner. Cut! Take the scene over. Another fellowship dinner. Until you stop worrying about what that sister gonna pray. Amen. 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 But see, they went to the house. They came in the house like they was drunk, and I can imagine. They were probably lying. Came in the house all drunk, all influenced, faking. And that's what some of you are doing. I found that out last night. Some of you were faking. You were trying to act like you didn't want it, and you really did want it. Yeah. Hallelujah! See, I know what it's like to be a fake. I've sat in church and knew that the Lord was talking to me, and prayer lines came, and I sat still. Faking. When I really wanted salvation. When I really wanted to be a good Christian. When I really wanted to produce fruit. Don't be a fake. Because you ain't going to be able to shut God up. If God is in you, he got to come out. Yeah. Hallelujah! If God is in you, he got to come out. And one thing I love about God, God ain't going to live in you and the devil too. Uh-oh! God and the devil cannot reign in you. Either one or the other. Uh-oh, I done put it in your lap now. So if God is in you, why are you sick? If God is in you, why is your back hurting? If God is in you, why you can't move that side of your body? If God is in you, why are you in the wheelchair? If God is in you, why are you having mind battles? It's either God or Satan had a preeminence at this time. Now I'm challenging you to come up higher. Before I get back to that story, somebody remind me. But I want to read something to you that the prophet said. He said, little by little, just as you kill out this bunch of Amorites, I'll let you move in and take over. If you kill out this bunch of Hivites, I'll let you move in and take over. Somebody said, well, I was prayed for last night. I had a crippled hand. Whew, it's a crippled hand in here. I had a crippled hand, and the only thing I can do is wiggle my fingers. Well, that's just all the farther you'll spread out, brother. Well, if you spread farther, you'll move your arm. See, so what he's saying is, no matter what the devil is telling you, use what you got. That's the only way you're going to go any further if you try. He said, if you spread out your arm, he said, as you spread your faith, God will let you take over the territory. Yeah. See, Satan telling you you can't walk, but God saying you can. Yeah. Satan telling you you can't use that side of your body, but God saying you can. Amen. Who you going to believe? The false accuser? That's what the devil is. Amen. Jonah said, even though I'm in a whale's belly, they're all lying vanities. Amen. This is not who I really am. This is not where I'm really supposed to be. I'm supposed to be out testifying of God's goodness. Amen. Like I said, nobody can take your place. Somebody need to make history this morning. We're going to make history this morning. This is going to be the last time you have to deal with the Egyptians. Amen. Hey, Don't get your intellect in this. Let your faith rise up. Let your faith rise up. Remember, what we said. What if God was in the suit preaching to you? And if God was in a suit preaching to you, life has to come behind his word. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. How many remember the message? Faith without works is dead. Amen. I believe it was Tommy Osborne that was talking on the front part. Was it Tommy? Talking on the front part of it? I think it was Tommy. And he was saying, listen to Brother Brown. He says, whatever the devil telling you you can't do, you do the opposite of it. Right, amen. So if the devil tell you you can't move that side, you do the opposite of it. Yeah. If the devil tell you that your heart ain't beating right, you tell your heart, do the opposite of it. Amen. If the enemy telling you you got troubles in your mind, you say, peace be still. Hallelujah. Be a positive and not a negative. Amen. Amen. Because if you're negative, you become negative. If you're positive, you become a charge to somebody. Amen. And see, and I realize that's what I am. I'm just a booster cable. I'm a charge. Amen. I'm not the source, but I'm hooked up to the source. Amen. And somebody might have a dead cell in their body, but I want to give somebody a boost. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody might need a boost this morning. You done sat in that spot too long with your high beams on. You done went out there and wasn't taking care of it. And now you come back to get on down the road and the life is gone. But I'm here to give you a boost. Woo! And you know what I love? If the battery is really, really dead, you can hook two booster cables up too. Hallelujah! So somewhere down the road, somewhere in there, you're going to get charged up. And you know the world, they make out things, they really don't know how it types out the spiritual. They got batteries called Everlast. I mean, it don't get tired. It's always ready. But the one I love is called Die Hard. Woo! It's called Die Hard. So no matter how many troubles, problems, persecution I have, the Holy Ghost in me is a diehard. And now they've got so advanced, he can even die. But it got a button on it that'll pop the juice back going again. God has a button in the church that he can hit and have the Holy Spirit flowing all through this place. Oh, I feel some of you trying to bust through. But let us bust through the sound barrier. I want to bust through the sound barrier. And if we go through the sound barrier, we'll be above the clouds where the sun is always shining. Yeah. Woo! Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. Yeah. Oh my, I got close. Amen. I'm coming back to it. I appreciate that. That means they right with me. We under the same anointing. Hallelujah! The bride has become one. Amen. What are these, Brother Jeff? Prayer requests? We believe God. Amen. You believe that everybody we prayed for? Amen. God can answer prayer? Amen. We don't need these no more. The inhabitants of the land have been driven out by the prayers of the saints. Where's that brother with his back hurting? He should already be healed because we're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh my! We're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and the devil can't have the preeminence wherever God is. And if God is here, the inhabitants got to leave. Because he said, I'm going to drive him out. Drive him out. Now see that brother with the back problem, he didn't been healed. He didn't profess. What about you this morning? What about you this morning? He's already giving God glory. What about you this morning? Do you believe God? What about you this morning? I challenge you to believe God. I challenge you to step into that supernatural faith where God can still walk on the water. And I hope somebody don't come in here and try, oh, well, I had this request. I need to find it. I need to see what it really did say. Don't you bring that intellectual faith in here. We got the raw faith of the Holy Spirit. Where it's not premeditated. It's an unconscious faith. See, Abraham had an unconscious faith. Amen. When it was time to offer up Isaac, the faith that he had was spoken word faith. He said, I and the lad gonna go, and I and the lad gonna come back. He was unconscious. He was just in the right seat, and he said the right thing, and I had it right. We think this message is something new. All these people are doing, all I had it right then was act out the Bible. All the Woods brothers did was act out the Bible. They said something pleasing to God, and God came over the trees. Woo! And what did they do? What did Hadarite do? What did the Wood brothers do? They anointed the word. They anointed the word for their situation. Just like the woman that washed Jesus' feet, she anointed the word for her sins to be forgiven. Woo! And Hadarite said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And here comes God, said, give her whatever she wants. Why? Because they anointed the word. In the Woods brothers, they were sitting there saying, we sure would like to see Miss, I forget her name, because she was just so good to us. Now that we're saved, she could see that we're saved. And the prophet of God said, you can feel God coming over the trees. Why? Because there was about to be a resurrection. Was it all about that fish? No. It was about those men in that boat seeing the supernatural power and presence of God. Jehovah's Witnesses that have now been converted. I know some of you are scared of this one. Don't be scared. It is I. Be of good cheer. I bid you to come. It ain't over till God says it's over. You got to say the right thing. Hallelujah. You got to speak blessings instead of curses. You got to say, yes, I can, instead of no, I can't. Somebody be that little red caboose. I seek, I can, I seek, I can, seek, I can. And the whole time it's going up a hill. Amen. Woo! Right. But once it got over that hill, once it got to the Red Sea, amen, and they didn't know what was going to go on, Moses had to speak. Moses was crying to God, and God, just like he told Brother Branham in the message of faith, I can't think of the name of it right now. The exploits of faith. He said the prayer line was coming through and his gift wasn't working. Wasn't nothing going. He prayed for this one. He wasn't feeling no anointing. He prayed for this one and he wasn't feeling no anointing. Then God came around and God said, why are you always depending on me? I've given the gift to you. Now it's time for you to operate in what I've given you. And he said he felt the presence of God come on him then. He felt like Samson. Oh my, I feel religious. And I ain't talking about like a Baptist. I'm talking about like a message believer that has the spoken word, which is the original seed. Where y'all young people at? Rise up with me tonight. Where you believers at? Rise up with me. Let's take the land. The land is ours. God has given it to us. What I love about them getting to, they coming to that Red Sea with the devil on their tracks. The people all scared up, but there was somebody that had an experience with God there. And Moses said, this will be the last time. This will be the last time. He stretched out that rod, and God just began to start working. God said, why cries to me? Speak. Amen. Now you think about it. All the supernatural that we've experienced, the supernatural that we're experiencing right now, how many believe God is here? Amen. The supernatural presence of the Holy Ghost that can make those that haven't made up their mind to save, to be saved, can be saved right now. You're standing at your Red Sea. We're all standing at the Red Sea, but there's a leader in here that can open it up. Amen. And what I love, when those that have received their blessing, they can be like Miriam. They can be like Miriam. Don't care what people do. They're just going to rejoice, going over to the other side, saying, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out of the storm. Woo! Miriam said, I don't know what y'all came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Because Jesus has set me free. Glory to God. Woo! This thing anointed now. By now, y'all know I enjoy Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because there's been enough starch in the church to iron a pair of jeans.
Amen.
But we're doing away with that. Because we're the last leg. And the last leg knows that the joy of the Lord is their strength.
Amen.
And if you're not happy this morning, why? Why aren't you happy? Do you not know Jesus? See, I know what it's like to have joy in something that ain't gonna do you no good. Just like these fellas I talked about last night riding around in these clown cars with these big old 20-inch, 40-inch rims and all that on. I had one of them cars. But bringing some credit to myself. We wasn't all jacked up in the air and looking clownish. We were low to the ground because we was cool. The higher you are, the higher the fall. Hallelujah! But I had one of those cars that week was my joy. If you would have saw it, you would have said, why do you want that raggedy thing? It's a 1979 Pontiac Bonneville. Photo. Some of y'all can't understand it. But you know what? God let that be a part of my life so it could be a part of this testimony.
Amen.
Amen. And y'all know what I did? I took a piece of junk and I dressed it up. I mean, boy, I dressed it up too. I dressed it up. I put some nice spoke rims on it, some nice white ball tires. And I put the top on it with the humps in it and the gold buttons going around it. Put a big 4.3 engine in it. It was my joy. But you know that joy was a hindrance in my life. Because every time my wife say, when you gonna buy me a car? I say, well, I got to do this to this one. I got to do this to that. I got to do this to that. Because it was my joy. And you know what? One morning while I was on vacation, I woke up and my joy was gone. Somebody stole my joy. I wasn't looking to go through that trial, but somebody stole my joy, Brother Lonnie. You know why? Because God had to get that out of his way. Because at the same time while I had that temporal joy, I was still going to church. Coming to church, coming to church. But God had to move that way. You know, I had one of those detachable face radios where you can just put it in your pocket, like I was a big shot. Walk around with the music in my pocket. See, them same demons around here now. Now they got to the place where you have DVDs sitting right down there. You can watch the TV while you drive. Ain't that so stupid? How you gonna watch TV and drive? What, if the show get good, you gonna pull in the rest area and watch all of it? It don't make no sense. But at that time, it made sense to me. You know, I had the music going and, you know, I'm riding. Go down the street, everybody recognize my joy. So when they see me, they holler out, Dre! So I'm riding down the road in my joy. But you know what I love about God? God ain't gonna share his glory with nobody.
Amen.
So I had a little piece of glory. God had to show me that you ain't supposed to get no glory.
Amen.
So he let my joy get stolen. Ain't that something he gets stolen on my vacation? But God done all that to give me a testimony. So he could humiliate me and humble me. I didn't have no car. I had a wife and a little baby with no car. Oh, she rode in my joy with me now. But then I got to a point where I didn't have no car. And my brother, and I'm about to close, but I'm going to get back to the drunk man. Praise God. I didn't have no car, but my brother had an S10 Chevy pickup that got hit by a deer. And I kid y'all now, the job he was working on, it was some tooling die makers. And what the tooling die maker did, he took a piece of plastic and put it in my brother's window and drew a face on the side of it. and told him whenever he needs to see, just push that face out and he'll be able to see. So while I'm riding down the road in the truck, I got a face on the side of me and everybody laughing. Humiliated. But God knows how to humble you. And the door was all smashed in from where the deer hit it. Had no window in it. And y'all, it was so bad, I'd get up to go to work in the morning and the car wouldn't crank. The truck wouldn't crank. And it was a clutch. So you brothers, you know how you try to run and jump start it? I push it up to the hill and roll down and jump, try to jump like that. Got to park it on the side of the road and catch a ride. And then when I get home, it'll crank just like that. And I just drive it back up the hill. God was humiliating me to get me fit for the master's use. But he had to drive out some demons that was in his land. You know what, y'all? It got so bad till I realized if the car get cool, it ain't gonna crank the next morning. So I had to get out of my bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to get up just to crank it up. Ain't going nowhere till 8 o'clock. Just so it can still be hot. God wants you hot and not cold.
Amen.
Amen. God don't want the fire to leave you when you leave this church, but he wanted to rest on you.
Amen.
And y'all know what the last draw was? Me and my wife going down the road in that beat up truck. And some guys on the job pull up beside me. And I had my queen in there with me. And you know how you try to act like you don't see people? So we had the light and I'm looking the other way. And they still hollering at me, Dre, laughing at me, Dre. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? Light's like, I'm hurrying up, getting on down the road. But right then and there, I said, I'm not going to let my wife go through my humiliation. Lord, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to fast till I get a breakthrough. Lord, I'm your son, I'm your child, and I know you've done this for a purpose. God allowed it for a purpose. But what he had to do, he had to drive out that pride that was in me that I didn't know was there. He had to make me humble so he can use me. Hallelujah. And you know what, we prayed and prayed and I fasted different things and went to different car dealerships and nobody wanted to do anything for me. But one day, one of the brothers in the church called me because he knew I needed another car. He called me. Young people, let me tell you something. Everybody in the church ain't a devil. That's the picture. The enemy wants you to believe that you can't trust nobody. There's somebody in the church that you can touch and agree with and watch God move. And he called me and said, hey, brother, you know, I know you need a car, but right here at my credit union, they just gave me a check to go get a new car. He said, all you got to do is be a member. He said, you just got to know somebody. But it's supposed to be a family member. And I went down there knowing me and him wasn't brothers, but we was brothers in the Lord. And I went down there and talked to the banker and this and that. You know what she said? She knew, all y'all in the kin. I said, no, we just brothers in the church. She said, man, y'all must be good friends for him to tell you all this information. She said, you know what? I'm going to do this up. And I want you to go buy a brand new car. Don't buy a used car. Buy a brand new car. And I'm going to give you the check for $20,000 and you go buy something. Brand new. Had 16 miles on it. A Honda Accord. And I still got it to this day. How did that happen? God had to drive the inhabitants out of the land. So little by little, I could increase. Let the musicians come. God puts this man in a place. And he will not accept another. There's no one can take the other man's place. So you be what you are. Stay what you are. You can't be Billy Graham, and Billy Graham can't be you. Your place is just as important as Billy Graham's. Now let's put William Branham in there. I can't be William Branham, but my place is just as important in the kingdom as William Branham. Because William Branham's message had to pull out the rest of the crop. And if I wasn't important, God wouldn't have used William Branham to speak a word of life so that I could come out of the mud. Glory to God. So what we need to do is stop being lazy and put it all on the prophet and take up your position. He said, you're just as important as Billy Graham or Roberts or any of those famous men. You're just as important until you get out of your place. And then you're no good at all. You're a hindrance out of your place. He said to these men, and you're a hindrance to yourself in the kingdom of God. Stay in your place. See, stay what God made you see, and then you'll operate right.
Amen.
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 Those drunk men came back home. See, by now, we ought to know that the Holy Ghost is here.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost brings all things back to your remembrance. See, somebody needs the story. Because usually in times I'd be so get up that I forget. Because the pool is so great. And the pool is so great right now for somebody to hear the story. But this woman, the drunk man came home faking, acting like they were drunk. She laid the food down. They turned her out of no chicken today. Turn all the food on. You know what she did? She started singing. She started worshiping God. She had a fresh the situation that she was going through with a drunk husband and a bunch of drunk men sitting in her house couldn't overpower the love she had for God. She had a fresh anointing. You know what she did? She cleaned up all the food. Like somehow, I said, now I don't know what's your problem. I ain't cooking none of this. But she went back in the refrigerator. She didn't pick up no leftovers. She went back in the refrigerator, got something fresh, and began to cook all over again. Sisters, I hate to say it, but we brothers, we'll eat leftovers one day. Might even eat it 2 days, but for a week. I'm sorry, that ain't God. Amen. And for the sisters' behalf, if you buy some groceries, I'll cook some food. But she went in the refrigerator and she began to prepare a whole new dish while these drunk men sitting down there acting like they're drunk, but they're watching her. And they probably sitting there saying, see, I told you she was a Christian. Watch what she do. She ain't finished yet. She just cleaned it up. Why she bring some more food back out here? See, that man knew what his wife had was something real, something powerful, something that could take the desire of being a drunk out of three men's mouths. Woo! Now is your life that powerful? Where God can use you to change worldly desires. Where God can use you to take the taste of sin out of somebody's mouth. And we ain't finished with that old devil. Devil, you got to come out. Because God said so. See, God giving me a testimony to challenge the enemy by faith in God. See, many years ago, I had cancer in my brain. I had a brain tumor at a very young age. And you didn't know that, did you? That's what I love about God. When God does something, he does it.
Amen.
When Peter cut that man's ear off, Jesus stepped right up and healed it right back. So no man can hold that to Peter's charge. It's in the Bible, but God had already justified.
Amen.
I had cancer. It was malignant. It was in my brain. It was messing me up so bad I couldn't see. I couldn't drink. I couldn't eat. I couldn't walk. When I sit down and get up, I got dizzy. My back was hurting. But God had already went to Calvary for every last symptom that I was going through.
Amen.
Glory to God. So your symptom this morning ain't no difference. It's just a lying vanity.
Amen.
But it takes a word. And it takes a faith for you to rise up above it. If me at age of 14, 15 years can take God at his word, what about you that have been sitting in this church for years?
Amen.
Where's your faith? Somebody give me your faith this morning. I don't want your money. I don't want your checkbook. I don't want your clothes. Give me your faith. And even in you trying God or depending on God, I'm sorry, I'm trying to close. There's going to be a challenge. Got to the place where the cancer got real aggressive. I started having temperatures at 102 degrees on a frequent basis. Did I know what was going on? No. But this particular time, this happened so quick, so quick. I didn't have a chance to react. I didn't have a chance to go to the doctors and get treatment and catch it before it, you know, could be malignant and all these things. My parents didn't know. It just happened all of a sudden. Then I get to the hospital. They thought I was on drugs at the school because I was talking out my mind. Then we went to the family doctor. He thought I was on drugs. But we went to the main hospital. The doctors did a CAT scan and they came back and said, we got to operate immediately. Immediately. He got cancer in his brain and it's overpowering his cells. I was having double vision. I'd be riding down the street with my parents and all the cars on this side of the road look like they're coming straight at me. See, Satan is a tormentor. Amen. He wants to torment you. And just like we read, if you don't drive it out today, it'll become a thorn in your side. You might say, you see, you got the opportunity today to walk out whole. And if you don't take God at his word, the supernatural is here. You got the opportunity. Wilt thou be made whole? Lay aside how you've operated in times past. If you always do what you did, you always have what you got. But now it's time for the church of the living God to step outside the box. Amen. And be that supernatural church that God is talking about. To be that supernatural church that God sent a messenger to. Amen. This message is a supernatural message. It's not an intellectual message, but it's a supernatural message. Amen. It's a message with mechanics that can break down circumcision, marriage, and divorce, but with dynamics that can live it. So we need both. What good would it be for me to have a Benz that costs $60,000 or a Bentley that costs $300,000 with no gas in it? Amen. It'll be just like my Honda. Can't go nowhere without no gas. Amen. But once I get it to move, I can enjoy those leather seats. I can enjoy that wood grain. I can enjoy those seats that spin around. Because that's what it comes with. But first, I got to be able to let it be how it was made, how it was created. And you got to be how God created us. Brother Branham say, a man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Amen. And that's all power. God is in the suit. He created us in his image. I feel a surge of the Holy Ghost moving in here. I want somebody to try God. Believe God. Believe God this morning. Don't worry about your circumstance. Don't worry about that pain that you feel. Even though that man's eyes was blind and he hadn't received his sight yet, he stood up every service and said, I thank the Lord for healing me. And what I love about God, there might be some make-believers in here right now doubting what we preach, but in the midst of all those unbelievers in the barber shop that they were trying to make fun of, his eyes came open right there in the midst of all that darkness. So unbelief don't hinder God. Whew. I feel like cutting a giant's head off right now. What I love about David, everybody was scared to fight. But David had an experience with God. Hallelujah. There might be some young sisters out there scared to fight. But you got an experience with God. And y'all got the tag team and bring the rest of them over. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we got to realize. When the parents died off in Egypt, there was a young group from 21 and under. But those young people, they experienced the adoption. They experienced the world on their shoulders walking through Jordan. They experienced Jericho's wall coming down. The young people did. Amen. Glory to God. They experienced all those battles. But God had their back. They experienced the move of the Holy Spirit. Because God told Joshua, I'm going to magnify you before the people today. And the prophet's message came to bring us back to what? The Holy Ghost. How Elijah led us up there. He led us right up there to meet the one that we're supposed to marry. But it's up to us to accept it. But I had counseling the doctors. Them, they said we got to operate immediately. And they're operating. They took out what they could took out. I had 27 staplers in the back of my head. You talking about pain. But it was for my good. Because nobody could take my place. That's why I shout. That's why I'm fanatic. That's why I run around the stage, because I done met death and conquered it. Amen. So death, where's your stage? Grave, where's your victory? Amen. I'm still here, and I'm still standing by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Am I boasting? No, I'm boasting on Him. Amen. And I'm boasting on the faith that is in this church this morning. God not only gave it to me, but we are a body. As a body, we make up the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do your part this morning, somebody will be able to step into that blessing. That person you know that's struggling and going through trouble, why don't you pray for him? See, Brother Branham got to a place where he realized he didn't have to lay hands on everybody. But everybody came up the way he was in the same faith. And he said, lay hands on that person that's beside you. Lay hands on that person that's beside you. It was even one time. The sister said, I want to pray for the baby. She said, no, but Brother Branham's going to pray for the baby. She said, I want to pray for the baby. And then when it came time, Brother Branham, the lady came up the line. Brother Branham said, your baby already been healed by that lady back there. Her prayers have already answered. Touch God. Touch him of his garment. Hallelujah. I told you this wasn't no ordinary service. We're issuing out a challenge this morning. Don't you walk out of here with those inhabitants still in your leg. Because although cancer was in my body, greater is he that was in me. You say, well, you born again? No. Did you know who the prophet was? No. Ain't God so good? Even in your ignorance, God will still work it out for your faith. Woo! Even if you trying to get in the channel this morning, God will work it out for your favor. Even if you doubt and say, I wonder if that's God, God will still work in your favor. Glory to God. They took out the cancer they found. Then they came back a couple days later. Said, we found more cancer spreading through your body. The next lump they found was in my neck. They said, we got to go down there. But before we did that, they said, you got to take chemotherapy. You got to take radiation treatment. And they started to explain all this stuff. The man said, it's going to stunt your growth. You know, you might not be able to have children. And it's going to make your hair fall out and all these other symptoms. I'm saying, this is supposed to heal me? Sound like it's going to kill me. So after he didn't drop, you know how the devil see you young people where you done messed up. The devil done saw you and that young man text messing each other with these old filthy, nasty messages. The devil done set you up real good. Got you on that internet looking at things you ain't supposed to look at. But even in your ignorance, God has sent a word for everything to get balanced out. It might be like this, but when God comes in, it straightens out. It might lean this way, but when God comes in, it straightens out. Because God can't walk in your life sideways. The word has to walk on a straight and narrow. Amen. Woo! They came in and they said, you got to take the chemo. So let me tell you a symptom, it's going to stunt your growth. And that's what the devil will do in your life. He have you so caught up in the cares of this life. He have you so caught up in trying to please other people. It'll stunt your growth right here in the message. It'll stunt your growth right here where eternal life is being preached. Chemotherapy spiritually will stunt your growth. Another thing they told me, they said, yeah, I know you're a young man, but it's going to mess up your cell count. You might not be able to have children. And I'm thinking, what? Man, life is just getting good. You saying I ain't going to be able to pass down all that I am? Everybody all right? I'm trying to close. And that's what the enemy want to do. He want to stop you from bringing forth fruit. He want to stop you from being a blessing to the nations. He want to stop you from walking into eternal life. He wants you sisters back here just to be religious, just to have a good sanctified life and don't walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. But God has given you that. But you got to step into it by faith. It might not be a sensation. It might just be a word. Say, yes, I can. Amen. That's what the enemy is doing. He's stunting people's growth. They're coming to church day in and day out and they ain't growing nowhere. When the season we're in, it is to produce a supernatural crop. Stop me from producing fruit. And like I just said, the next thing you say, it'll stunt your growth. And I was already about 5 foot. Killed my dreams of being 6'1". So you know what I told them inhabitants that was in my land? I looked those doctors in the face. Let me back up. Once the enemy drops his load on you, once he whispers in your ear, he feel like he got you. You know what you've done. You better not say amen in service. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know what you've been looking at. You better not say amen. You know what you and Billy did last week. You better not say amen. You know you and Sarah kissed. You better not say amen. I'm sorry, Sarah, wherever you are. It's just an illustration. So the enemy tries to keep you condemned. When you don't take God. You have all that pressure on you. That's when you got to have a soldier in your corner. And I had a soldier. I had an angel in my corner, a.k.a. Mama, standing right there beside me, who had just came back into this message, found her position, and she began to minister the word to me. She began to minister that God is a divine healer. My first message book was Divine Healing. Why? Because that was going to be a part of my lot on this earth. God was going to give me a testimony to challenge sickness. God was going to give me a testimony to drive the enemy out.
Amen.
If you could just believe. Get back to the commission. Brother Redham wasn't so. He did it so many times. He explained it so many times. And he tried to get away from the discernment so many times. Why? Because the angel had told him, you've got away from the commission. The commission is to get the people to believe. And God will do the rest.
Amen.
So mom began to break it down to me. Say, don't claim this. You ain't got to claim this. God has already healed you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And me, not knowing what she's talking about, I just simply believed it.
Amen.
Did I have the Holy Ghost? No. Did I feel a hovering over my body? No. But I had confidence in what she was saying.
Amen.
And you know what else, young people? Adults, middle age, I had nothing to lose but everything to gain.
Amen.
Sitting on my deathbed with a bald head, stitches this way, staples that way. What I had to lose?
Right.
Let me ask you something. What you got to lose by trying Jesus?
Amen.
What you got to lose? Is the devil saying you can't walk or you can't do this or you can't do that by standing up on your feet and saying, yes, I can? How many of y'all praying with me? You expressed to me that you believe in God. You expressed to me that you believe God has healed you. You believe that? I want you to try God at his word. You believe you're healed? Get up and run around this church if you believe God. Hallelujah! God was talking to you if you believe. Oh my! See, that's the faith we're talking about. where you can hear God speak to you and you believe God. You ain't worried about this part of your body that can't move or can't operate. God said so and I believe it.
Yeah.
See, God is trying to call you up higher. You know, Brother Brandon will say a lot of times, say people come in the prayer line proclaiming they got faith and really don't have it. Does he say that for a mockery? No. He's trying to get them to the real thing. And I challenge you that's taking those blood pressure pills, throw them away if you really believe God. It's in here. But by that time, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm trying to close. But God wants to show who he is. But we got to the place, so her mom said, she broke it down and wrote all the scriptures down and showed it to me and went in the Bible and showed me what God's word said. And I realized I had nothing to lose. But then what she said, and this is where God is trying to get us. This is what she said. She said, whatever decision is made, I'm not going to make it. Because I'm not the one that's going to have to live with it. You are. And I found this out years later. By her putting it in my lap, God allowed her to activate my faith. Why? Because God was going to move based upon what I said. Hallelujah! And when those doctors came back in, when those demons came back in that were in my land, and they said, well, what do you decide? I said, I'm not taking it. I ain't taking your chemo, and I ain't taking your radiation. By his stripes, I'm already healed. And you know what? The devil couldn't believe it. See, the devil can't believe right now that we're challenging him. That's why he's trying to hold you in that little comfortable realm. Don't be comfortable. Don't be mild form, because you can be in mild form and still die and go to hell. But God is looking for some fire. But I never took the chemo. I never took the radiation treatment. It was because God had already put that faith inside me. But it took a certain situation for him to bring it out. Amen. Hallelujah. And parents, this way you come in. Open the eyes of my heart. Parents, this way you come in. Although the enemy was driven out, I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And you know, once the enemy is driven out, he'll go out for a while, but then he'll turn around seeking to go back into that house he came from. And he came back. But he came back with the same symptoms, trying to get me to claim it all over again. But I had some soldiers in my corner. I had some people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they bound that devil up again so I could fully get in contact with God and fight my own battle. My mom and my aunt, they prayed one day right there on the phone, and I hadn't had a headache since. Because now when the enemy comes, I see him because I have my own Holy Ghost. God ain't through. We're going to have a healing service this morning. Whether it's in your mind or in your body, in your spirit, believe God. Open the eyes of your heart that you may see. And I challenge you. You have a need from God. I want you to bring it to the altar. Bring it to God. Whatever your sickness is, come over here, brother. Brother Jeff, Brother Lonnie, minister brothers, come over here. See, we're not going to let the enemy escape this morning. We're going to drive every devil that's sitting in our land so we can be free. For those of you that feel like you're all right, why don't you pray for those that hadn't had the faith to come? I want the ministers to come stand by me. I want everybody to stretch out where we can join hands. See, I don't want you to rely on Brother Diggs this morning. I want you to rely on the God of Brother Diggs. Like we hear a lot of people say, the God of Elijah, the God of William Branham. That same God is Jesus.
Amen.
And he's here this morning. Everybody spread out. I want everybody to have the same contact. Let them in the circle. Stretch all the way out to the end. Everybody get in the circle. Y'all get in the circle. Any of you young people that don't have the Holy Ghost, come and get it right now. Don't let this pass you by. If anybody hadn't been baptized, besides the three that's supposed to be baptized, you come make a challenge, try God today. You come get the blood of Jesus on you. God. Are we believing God on this end? We believe in God. Before we pray, everybody, all together. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of every time you wake up, I want you to say, Lord, I thank you for healing me.
Jesus. Father, you say for this purpose you came, Lord, that you might set the captives free, Lord. And Lord, we know that you didn't make her in this condition, Lord. But be of interest, Lord, it might be for the glory of God. And Lord, we just ask, Father, you would show us your glory, Lord. Lord, it may not be a sensation. It may not be in this hour. But Lord, we believe in you little by little. You can drive the inhabitants in a land out. In the name of Jesus, we pronounce victory. Lord, you said, tell. Gave us the right to impart eternal life. And no sickness is too great for you, Lord. No battle, no trial, no tribulation is too great for you that you can make us whole. In your name we pray, Lord. We pray by faith. You say the effect of fervent prayer of the righteous man, it avails much. And Lord, we ask you to avail right now. In the name of Jesus, Satan, we adjure you by the power of the blood. Come out of her right now. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her legs in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her.
Your mind to manifest your glory
Lord, show us your glory. Lord, we don't seek a sign, but Lord, we're believers, Lord. And Lord, we know that your word says it will automatically follow the belief. Lord, you said the Holy Ghost working with me, doing the signs and wonders. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we bring all these situations to you as a deliverer and as a savior. We pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church say amen. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Say amen if you believe it. Say amen if you believe it. Say hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Go back to our seats. The same victory is mine.
Victory today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that the work of the evangelist has done a great job in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Praise your worthy name. Hallelujah. How great thou art, Lord. Yes. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Those of you that will be baptized, we're going to meet you in the back. And we want you to go on back. You may be seated for just a moment. And Brother Dick Weldon, he came forward and was standing beside me. He said, you know, as the preaching of the word was going forward, he said, I was not prepared to come to church. He said, the rheumatoid arthritis was just killing me. I had to lay down. I had to stay in bed. He says, but I came. He says, and the longer the word went forward, the longer the word was being preached, the better I felt, the better I felt, the better I felt. And I could say the same thing for myself. The longer the word was going forth, the better I felt, the better I felt. That's the highest form of healing. That's the highest form of casting out devils, is the preaching of the word of God. And you know, and I believe that the bride of Jesus Christ has to come to the place where they say, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. And we have to be able to take God at his word and speak in the first person. You believe that? God said to Moses, I am come down, but I'm sending you. So therefore, God was coming down in Moses. Well, if God was coming down in Moses, then God has come down in the bride of Jesus Christ. So you can speak, Satan, I adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that? I believe we got to get past those wimpy prayers of, Lord, if maybe, perhaps, maybe you might, Lord, or, you know, I believe that you can, I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what the job of the evangelist does? Increases your faith to be able to take God at his word. I love whenever the evangelist, when Brother Branham would say, stand up to your feet, or when he'd say, take this handkerchief, lay it on that person, or you got something in your purse, go do this. Whatever the evangelist calls the people to do, I like to respond to that. Because I believe then God will honor my faith by obeying his words. I may not get a result right now, or maybe I will get a result right now. It happened to be that in my body I got a result right now. God touched my back while I was sitting there in the back. I grabbed Brother Mike Kukon next to me. I said, Brother Mike, you need to go forward. Because if Brother Mike doesn't get a healing, he's going to be in a nursing home. So we're going to believe that God's not going to send him at 62 years old to a nursing home. That God's going to raise him up entirely. Make him well. Going to restore his marriage, restore his family, restore... How many believe God's a God of restoration? The Satan comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but God comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's been so good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Just to be able to love... What I'm glad for? I'll tell you what I'm glad for. I'm glad that the assembly here, getting so used to an ox anointing, can allow an eagle to come in and do whatever he so desires, and you're instantly able to respond to him. Because we know that those fivefold ministry, each one of them, Brother Bram said, that makes up the nature of God. That makes up the nature of God. So that eagle is an aspect of the nature of God. What you got to watch today was not just a high-strung individual that's been healed from cancer. You got to watch the nature of God on display. That was the very nature of Jesus Christ through the working of the evangelist. And to me, that suit, that's God in that suit. That's God in that suit. How many believe God's in your suit? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Paul, why don't you come lead a few songs? I'm going to slip on back there and we'll baptize. I'm not sure how many are back there. And very glad for what God is doing in our midst, in our lives. I prayed, I believed the moment I met Brother Kydre that God wanted him to come and minister to our hearts and our lives. And I'm going to take this anointing, and I'm not going to let it stay on the outside like this, you know, just in church. I'm going to go pray over this. I want to nurture this. Can you say amen? I want to nurture this. I want to get away quietly and meditate and pray over this week. And how many can say your faith is on a higher level? Amen. 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 There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart. Lord Jesus. This is a day for Brother Paul and Sister Kathy Jenkins that will be remembered for the rest of their life. But this is also a day for Uncle Jeff, too. And this, and most importantly, is this is the day for the victory for Jesus Christ in a life. And this is Jonathan's day. What God has done in his life is exciting. Can somebody hand me a radio mic, as long as we don't get it wet? I just sort of sprung this on Jonathan, but he was explaining to me a few days ago, we were sitting out underneath the stars, and he says, Uncle Jeff, it's time. And I just wanted him to explain what's going on in his life, what God is doing in his life.
About 6 weeks ago, I was at work. Been working hard, living in sin. Sitting there at work, and all of a sudden, my heart starts going crazy. My left arm starts tingling. I can't concentrate. I'm seeing down a black lane, and I'm working, and about 45 minutes of this goes by, and I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die a sinner. I gave my heart to God right then. I said, Lord, if it's my time to go, I want to go with you. I said, if you decide to give me more time, my God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you the rest of my life. And he came down right there, and just I started feeling good again. So then I went to the doctor. Doctor tells me I have all kinds of problems. They run checks on me, make me wear heart monitors. Takes me in, says he thinks I have a hole in my heart. And okay, I don't know what to do now. I had this faith that God healed me, and I went back to my parents just bawling. I didn't know what to do. I was crushed. The fear just consumed me. I couldn't think. And then after I went and saw my parents, I was driving home, and I was like, Lord, I truly believe you saved my life that night. And if it's my time to go again, it's my time to go. But that little hole, what's that mean to you? You created me. What's this little hole mean to you? They went in and took a scope down me, looked at it, and he comes back. Well, there's nothing there. Your heart's healthy. Every stress test, everything, your heart's healthy. God gave me a new heart, and I want to give mine to him forever.
Praise God. Two new hearts. The inner man and the physical body. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done in Jonathan's life over the last week or so. And it's a testimony of your grace. Brother Diggs' illustration of the rope. We go out, we live our life, we live in sin. We run from you, but there's invisible rope. And it's always attached, and we can never go very far. And a true believer, it doesn't make a very good worldly person. A true son and daughter of God never really ever will be satisfied in the world. Because there's something on the inside that only the Word of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ can satisfy. And God, Jonathan's testimony is there's no looking back. His desire now is to serve you with all of his heart. And God, in just a moment, I'm going to baptize him in water. But my sincere prayer is that you would also baptize him. Fill him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Come and make your abode in this vessel. You're already beginning to clean his life up. Take the desires away. Deliver him from cigarettes. God, I know you continue to sanctify and purge this vessel. It's not something he does. He yields to what God is doing. He surrenders by faith to what God is doing. And he walks by faith now, coming to church, hearing the word of God. And Lord, it'll be the word that will change him from glory unto glory unto glory. So Lord, as I baptize him in water, may you fill Jonathan with the Holy Spirit is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jonathan, because you love the Lord Jesus and are desirous to be identified with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give him the desires of his heart, Lord. Fill him with the Holy Spirit of promise, Lord. Lord Jesus, may he be a vessel of honor all the days of his life. God, continue to just do a work in his heart and his life, his family, his relatives, his loved ones. May he be a light, a shining and bright light, Lord. Bless him, Lord, and use him in the days ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Ezra.
I've been baptized before, but I just felt kind of pressured before. It just, I've had felt for a long time that I just, it seemed like I needed to get rebaptized. It just, you know, when you're under pressure and you feel like you're somebody's, it wasn't wrong, I think, the way I got baptized, but I didn't feel like it was me, my conviction. It was, I don't know how to really explain it, but you know, I want to go down in this water here and let everything down under that's unlike the Lord Jesus, but I want to come up in his likeness. I just love him. I appreciate all the saints here. I just ask that you would just pray with me, Lord. Just, I want him to have his way in my life.
How many were baptized at one time or another and then found yourself being rebaptized, having a better understanding? Yeah, literally probably over 100 hands. And that was including my hand as well. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Ezra's honesty, sincerity, transparency, his desire to be obedient in every regard. And God, having been baptized once initially, but there was more pressure involved than there was really an inner understanding. But now he has that knowledge. He has that full understanding of what he's doing. So now he desires, Lord God, to, as he said, lay everything that is unlike you at the bottom of this pool. And God, may Jesus Christ, may Ezra go down and may Jesus come up, is our prayer. As I baptize him in water, Lord, you said, if we confess our sins and repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So wherever Ezra is in his walk, if he has or has not, Lord God, he's now done everything that he knows. And then the rest is up to you. So God, it's a good thing to know that he can now, as Ruth, after being covered at the feet of Boaz, Ruth could rest. Because now it was completely up to Boaz. And Lord, now Ezra can now enter into his rest because the rest is up to Jesus Christ. Because we have labored to enter into this rest right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to move a little bit forward on that stool. There you go. Ezra, because you love the Lord Jesus and are desirous to be identified with him in the fuller knowledge of his word, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, bless my brother Ezra. Grant him the desires of his heart. Grant him the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Grant him victory over sin, the flesh, the world, and the devil. God, may you give him wisdom and power in the days ahead. Lord, may he be a leader and a light to his family and his friends. Lord God, and it is not within him to do any of this, but Jesus Christ can do it through him. We're believing for that in Jesus' name as we yield and as we rest on you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a day for the Levy family. Nathan desires to come also and be identified with him in baptism. Having heard the word of God, that evangelist's gift, I told Brother Kydre, when I met him up at Winter Youth Retreat, I said, I've got a lot of young people that are just so close to just completely surrendering to Jesus Christ, but I'm an ox, and I'm an old shoe, and I could try to be an evangelist, but I can't be. I need an evangelist to come and to stir their hearts up. And it's precisely what God did this week. Because God's going to work through that pastor, that overseer, that bishop, to know the mind of God, get the right person in to bring a gift to the people, and then God's people, by God's grace, respond to that gift. And Nathan is one of those that has responded to God in that suit. And I thank God for that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Nathan's desire. And as Sister Teresa said to me, I'm getting Mother's Day 1 week early. And God Almighty, young man, 9, 10 years old, quite eligible, ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's been raised in church all of his life. He's heard the Word of God, and you've met him on that level. He understands the beauty of holiness and purity. He understands the virtues and the life of Christ that's been exhibited in this assembly and by these people and by his mother and by his father, by his sister and his brothers. Now he wants to be a partaker. He wants, Lord God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And I lay my hands on Nathan. And I lay my hands on him in the name of Jesus Christ. And I confer God's blessing upon him in the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul laid hands on them in the book of Acts, and they received the Holy Ghost. So God, I lay hands on Nathan because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he might receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Nathan, because you desire to be identified with him in baptism, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. God, take your vessel. He belongs to you now. He bears the stripes on his shoulders. He's a soldier. And Lord, he's now entered the infantry. And he is reporting for duty. Fill him with the Holy Spirit of promise is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Nathan. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Zach. God is good. Through the intervention of science and medicine, Zach walks without any aid. Now we're going to believe that Jesus Christ, supernaturally, is going to walk on the inside of Zach. Lord Jesus, as a pastor, I've got to watch the whole Levy family grow up, their kids mature, and Lord, to see Zach come and grow, and Katrina come and grow, become a part of the Levy family, and to be able to hear now, not cursing and swearing in a home, but to hear the songs of Zion, worship and praise, to come to church, to be in the house of God. And his heart is conditioned, it's ready. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I pray that as I baptize him in water, that you would fill Zachary with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Zachary, because you love the Lord Jesus and our desires to be identified with him, in his death, burial, and resurrection, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for Zach. I lay hands on him in the name of Jesus Christ that he too might receive the Holy Spirit. Lord God, if a pastor can love and care so deeply, how much more can you? And Lord God, you said if any father would ask, a son would ask a father a gift. He said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give them that ask it the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So give Zachary the Holy Ghost is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Zachary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in your heart? Can you say thank you, Jesus, for what you've done this week? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him now.
I thank you. Bless us. Give bid us Godspeed. And then we're going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amen.
Imagine the arthritic person running up the steps. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just go before the throne of God now and just thank Him from the bottom of our hearts. Lord God, it's an honor and a privilege to be in Your presence. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done through our evangelist today, Lord, and the work that's been done in the hearts of my brothers and sisters and myself, drawing us near to you, and the young souls, Lord, that have just stepped to your side, Lord, and turned their back on the world and the devil, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, this opportunity to be with you, and for the healings that went forth, and for the testimony that's going to come back, Lord, of greater healings. Father, for those who have not seen their healing that they desire today, Lord, as that rope was just cast out yesterday, we're just going to make the loop a little bigger in our prayers and just draw more strength to our brothers and sisters who had physical and spiritual needs. Lord, just bless them one and all. Be with us now as we leave this place, Lord. Give us traveling mercies home. Bless each and every one, Lord. And we give you the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Dick. Praise God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That's every one of our songs. God bless you. We'll see the young folks at 5 o'clock. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you those of you also that are visiting. Thank you for coming and being a part of the this time together in this presence. I know that you were blessed as well. Amen. Let's just sing this song. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now think about it. I have found and I was blind. one more song, and it's by His word. Oh, I'll prevail. It's by His word. I'll never fail. And it's by His word. I'll overcome. By His word, I'll prevail. I'll overcome. It's by His grace. And it's by His grace. Oh, I'll prevail. That's true. It's by His grace. Yes, I'll never fail. And it's by His grace. Hallelujah. By His love.